First Kings chapter 3, starting from verse 1.
And Solomon made affinity with Pharaoh king of Egypt, and took Pharaoh's daughter, and brought her into the city of David, until he had made an end of building his own house, and the house of the Lord, and the wall of Jerusalem round about.
Now, here we see that Solomon married Pharaoh's daughter. In this book doesn't say what Pharaoh gave, but the other book says Pharaoh gave a big dowry, gave a big land, and when he got married to this lady, he brought her to the Jerusalem, and he started building the house, the building all around the wall for the Jerusalem, and he was thinking he wanted to build the temple. But the temple was not built, so the people were sacrificing to God in a different high places. And nobody prohibited them, because there was still tabernacle there. David bought the tabernacle and kept it there, but people were still worshiping God in different ways, wherever they want to worship. So see what happens, verse 2.
Only the people sacrificed in high places, because there was no house built unto the name of the Lord until those days. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. Only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places.
All other people were sacrificing in different places, different mountains. And so Solomon also decided to sacrifice for the Lord in a high place. Now, that high place we will be learning as we read. Let's read the verse 4.
And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. In Gibeon the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, Ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said, Thou hast showed unto thy servant David my father great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth, and in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day.
Here we see Solomon went to the high place and sacrificed there. And here he says he went in Gibeon. Now, if you remember, when David told Nathan and the priest, go and anoint my son and make him a king. Read the First Kings chapter 1, verse 32. I believe the same place he went and sacrificed.
And King David said, Call me Zadok the priest, and Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada. And they came before the king. The king also said unto them, Take with you the servants of your lord, and cause Solomon my son to ride upon mine own mule, and bring him down to Gihon.
Okay, now he said Gihon, and here he says Gibeon. So the pronunciation is different, but I believe the same place. And I thought, why Solomon has to go to that place to sacrifice? Because he said it was a high place. You remember when the Solomon was anointed a king, and people start shouting, and that was a high place. And when you shout from the high mountain top, everybody can hear. And that's why his brother and all other people were able to hear. And so he thought, I was anointed in that place. God blessed me there, and I'm a king. So let me go there and do some sacrifice and bless the Lord. Now at that time, you can see, he married the heathen lady. He going in the high place and sacrificing. And God came to his dream after the sacrifice. And God asked him, what do you want? From here we see, when you sacrifice to the Lord, means worship the Lord, and God is pleased, God will give you the blessing. I was thinking, God did not find any fault in him. He did not say, why did you marry the heathen lady? Why did you sacrifice in that high place? Even though in Jerusalem there is a tabernacle, why did you do this? God overlooked his shortcoming, and he saw how much love he has for God and how much he loves the Lord, and he does sacrifice. In the olden days, when you do sacrifice, your sins will be forgiven or covered. So I think God overlooked his mistakes and faults, and he blessed him and he said, ask me, what should I give? And Solomon did not ask right away, give me this or give me that. He started praising him, how he blessed my father and how you gave me the kingdom and how our God is great and your people are great. And he started praising God and thanking God before he could ask anything. So same way when you are praying and asking God, just sitting and say, God, give me this. Just spend some time in prayer. Spend some time in praising God and glorifying God and praise God what he has already done. That's what he is saying. Whatever you have done this day, I want to praise God. Let's read the verse 7.
And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in.
Now he said, you made me king. I am grateful, but I am just like a little child. God's kingdom is so big, so many people, so many states, and I do not know where to go. I never saw these places. I never went out. So I'm like a little child. I don't know anything. So he is trying to ask God, I need wisdom. Because I'm like a little child, I have no knowledge, nothing about these people or your country or anything. So I am like a little child. I don't know where to go and how to do anything. Verse 8.
And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgments.
So God is very pleased. God says, you did not ask long life. You did not say, I want to destroy my enemies. You did not ask any other things, but you just asked the wisdom. So God is very pleased. And God says, when you ask the wisdom, I'm going to make you wiser than anybody else. I can give the riches in such a way that nobody had the riches. And so God blessed him with the wisdom and riches. See, read the verse 12.
Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee.
Now here God is saying, I made you a richest king and the wisest king, and there will be no one like you. And so when you read this, then somebody says, how about Jesus? Jesus is he will be the greatest king. So how can we say there won't be anyone after you? You will be the greatest king, and you will be richest and wisest king. But go and read the Matthew chapter 12, verse 42. Jesus says, greater than Solomon is here. Matthew 12:42.
The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here.
Yeah, he said, behold, greater than Solomon is here. The queen of Sheba came from far away to see the wisdom of Solomon. And when she came, she said, when I came, I heard a lot, but that was even not even 50%. After she came, she was so surprised. But Jesus Christ says, greater than Solomon is here. And so he says, I am greater than Solomon. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He has the everything what God has. And the Word of God says, he became even the wisdom for us. Once we believe Jesus Christ, we have the wisdom of God, we have the knowledge of God, we have the Spirit of God, and we will be greater than Solomon. Because Solomon was doing sacrifices, and his sacrifices was bulls and goats. Our sacrifice is blood of Jesus Christ. So we are greater than Solomon because of Jesus Christ. If the Jesus Christ is greater than Solomon, and he also can make us greater than Solomon. And when you read the verse 13, it clarifies a little bit better. Let's read verse 13.
And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days.
All thy days. That means as long you are alive, you are the richest. You are the wisest. But God did not say, after you, in the verse 12, he says, there won't be anybody after you like you. But we saw in the Word of God, Jesus Christ is greater than Solomon. And now here he says, only I give you this riches and wealth and everything in your days. When you're gone, there is no guarantee. Maybe somebody will come like Jesus and he will be greater than you. Verse 14.
And if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days.
See, again he says, if you walk in his ways, God's ways, then how God bless his father, he can bless him. But if he goes astray, all that wisdom and all that blessings and all that riches and everything vanishes away. God gives you blessings to glorify him, live for him. If you leave the Lord, you are finished. Verse 15.
And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream, and he came to Jerusalem and stood before the ark of the covenant of the Lord and offered up burnt offerings and offered peace offerings and made a feast to all his servants.
As soon as he came out of the dream, means maybe no morning or something, and he realized, hey, this was a dream. God spoke to me in a dream. And so he was happy and he believed. How many people believe the dreams? We see all kinds of dreams, but we just forget. But sometimes some dreams will be so real. And that dream you cannot forget. Sometimes people get in the morning and say, what, I don't know what I was dreaming. But he remembered that God spoke to him and God promised him to bless. And he asked God riches and wisdom. And he believed that God has blessed me. But now he did sacrifice on the high mountain, if you remember. And after that, God spoke to him. Now here the Word of God is saying, after the God spoke to him, now he did not go to that high mountain, but he goes to the tabernacle in Jerusalem, where his father kept the tabernacle. And there he goes and does the sacrifices. Read the verse 16. Okay, 16.
Then came there two women that were harlots unto the king and stood before him. And the one woman said, O my lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass, the third day after that I was delivered, that this woman was delivered also, and we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night because she overlaid it. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while thine handmaid slept. and laid it in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I rose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son, which I did bear. And the other woman said, Nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son. And this said, No, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. Thus they spake before the king.
Solomon gave the great sacrifice. He gave the great feast. People were happy, and he is happy that God blessed him. Now, only thing he has to find out, if the God blessed me, and God gave me the wisdom, now you have to see, really he has a wisdom, really he has a gift. Once you ask something, then you believe that you received it, and you will have it. So now, Solomon believed that God has given me wisdom. So now God is proving to him how much wisdom he has given to him. And all of a sudden, these two ladies coming from nowhere, these two ladies are prostitutes. Those prostitutes got pregnant. When they got pregnant, there is no husband. Both of them living in one house. And so now one lady says, I gave the birth. And 3 days later, the other lady gave the birth. And then, I don't know, they might be sleeping in two different beds or whatever. But one lady gave the birth to the child. She rolled over and killed the baby. And when she saw the baby is dead midnight, she took the live baby from other lady, put the dead baby with her. So the lady got up in the morning and started feeding the baby. The baby is dead. So she checked and see, is this my baby? And so she found out that's not her child. See, the mother knows her child, and they will never make mistake that is that not their child. Even the animal, they have the babies, they smell it, they know it, and they take care of it. So now this lady got depressed. How it happened? They start fighting. So they said, now we have to go to the king. So now they are coming to the king and telling their story. King is listening. And all other people, when they were listening, they thought, this is very complicated. Both ladies are saying, this is my child. Now whose child is this? So see, God gave Solomon wisdom. So now this is the test of his wisdom. Verse 23.
Then said the king, the one saith, this is my son that liveth, and thy son is the dead. And the other saith, nay, but thy son is the dead, and my son is the living. And the king said, bring me a sword. And they brought a sword before the king.
King says, one says, this is my child. Another says, this is my child. And the dead one, nobody wants it. So now he said, I got an idea, bring the sword. Now when they bought the sword, I don't know anybody came to know that what he's going to do. Maybe he was thinking, the lady who is lying, I'm going to kill her or something. So they didn't know what he was doing. So now he gives the order to split the baby in half. Let's read verse 25.
And the king said, divide the living child in two, and give half to the one and half to the other.
Now, he just said to the man, I don't think that man went rushing there. He just gave the sword, he said, okay, you go, split the child in half, give half to one and give half to another. So now here the king knew, if the lady has her own child, she will not allow that baby to die. They will always say, okay, let my child live. We see today also, sometimes the husband and this and that, they try to divide the children. They will say, okay, I want my child to live. This order was given. Maybe the man got the sword and now almost going there, but all of a sudden the lady says, give that child to that other lady. Okay, let's read the verse 26.
Then spake the woman whose The living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, O my lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other said, Let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it.
The first lady says, Let that child live, don't slay, don't kill. Give it to the other lady who is saying, This is my child. Give it to her. Now, if that lady would have kept her mouth closed, she would have got the child. But she is so dumb and so fool, she said, No, I don't want it, and she doesn't need it, so let's split it. King came to know that lady doesn't have love for that child. She doesn't care, and she said, No, divide. So the king gives the good, what do you call, verdict. Let's read further.
Then the king answered and said, Give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment.
When this judgment was given, but king was still gracious, because she is guilty. She killed her son. She could not care about son, and now she wants to kill other child. I don't think that lady is going to go and live in the same house with that lady. And he said, Now this is enough. We were living in a one house. I'm not coming with you, because she can kill the child, the same child again. So it doesn't say that king would have warned her, Now you should not live with her, and that lady should be in a jail. But we don't know what happened after that. Only we know he gave the judgment, and that story went to all around the Israeli people. And they were so surprised. Our king is a wise king. And they gave so much respect for the king because he gave a right judgment. Chapter finishes there. This is a small chapter, and other chapter also small. Here we see, whatever he asked, he got it. And then now he practiced what God gave it to him. So if you read in Mark chapter 11, and if you read verse 22 and 23, the word of God says, first of all, have faith in God. Once you have faith in God, and whatever you ask, you believe that you received it. Please read.
For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith.
When you ask something, you believe it, you receive it, and you will have it. So when you pray for somebody, tell that person, receive by faith, believe what you ask, and you will get it. So Solomon believed it, and people saw what God gave it to him. Whenever you ask something, before you receive it, you believe that you got it. Okay. Starting from verse 1.
So King Solomon was king over all Israel. And these were the princes which he had: Azariah the son of Zadok the priest, Elihareph and Ahiah the sons of Shisha, scribes, Jehoshaphat the son of Ahilud the recorder.
Now here is giving just the how he start his kingdom. And now he has the priest, he has the scribe, and then you will see he has all different kinds of princes and governors and things like that. So when you're reading from verse 4 to verse 19 or 20, all these princes and all these governors' names are given. And those governors, what are the places they're governing, those names are given. So we are going to read up to 19. Go ahead.
And Benaiah the son of Jehoiada was over the host, and Zadok and Abiathar were the priests. And Azariah the son of Nathan was over the officers, and Zabud the son of Nathan was principal officer and the king's friend. And Ahishar was over the household, and Adoniram the son of Abda was over the tribute. And Solomon had 12 officers over all Israel, which provided victuals for the king and his household. Each man his month in a year made provision, and these are their names, the son of Hur and Mount Ephraim. the son of Dekar and Makaz and Enshalbim and Beth Shemesh and Elan Beth Hanan, the son of Hesed and Araboth, to him pertained Soko and all the land of Hefer, the son of Abinadab and all the region of Dor, which had Taphath, the daughter of Solomon's wife, Bana, the son of Ahilud, to him pertained Taanach and Megiddo, and all Beth Shean, which is by Zartana, beneath Jezreel, from Beth Shean to Abel Meholah, even unto the place that is beyond Jokneam. The son of Geber and Ramoth Gilead, to him pertained the towns of Jer, the son of Manasseh, which are in Gilead. To him also pertained the region of Argob, which is in Bashan, 70 great cities with walls and brazen bars. Ahinadab, the son of Iddo, had Mahanaim. Ahimaaz was in Naphtali. He also took Basmath, the daughter of Solomon's wife. Baana, the son of Hushai, was in Asher and in Eloth.
Two governors married Solomon's daughter. Okay, go ahead.
Jehoshaphat, the son of Paroh in Issachar. Shimei, the son of Elah, and Benjamin. Geber, the son of Uri, was in the country of Gilead, in the country of Sihon, king of the Amorites, and of Og, king of Bashan, and he was the only officer which was in the land. Judah and Israel were many, as the sand which is by the sea in multitude, eating and drinking and making merry.
All the governors, all the priests, all the princes, and he gave different kinds of cities and states under them, and now everything is in control. Now the Israeli people are very happy, and they got everything, no war, no enemies, peace everywhere, and now people are very happy, rejoicing. Everybody has their own house, they have their own farm, they have their own vineyard, they have grapes and everything, and everybody rejoicing. This is the time of peace and time of rejoicing. Let's read the verse 21.
And Solomon reigned over all kingdoms from the river unto the land of the Philistines and unto the border of Egypt. They brought presents and served Solomon all the days of his life.
Now here says he got a kingdom almost up to the Pharaoh's river, and here everywhere means each and every part of the Israeli nation was under him. And so he was very famous, very powerful, because God gave him the wisdom, and when the people saw his wisdom and his power, all people gave him respect. And nobody had power to fight with him.
And Solomon's provision for one day was 30 measures of fine flour and 70 measures of meal, 10 fat oxen and 20 oxen out of the pastures, and 100 sheep, beside harts and roebucks and fallow deer and fatted fowl. For he had dominion over all the region on this side of the river, from Tifsa even to Azza, over all the kings on this side of the river, and he had peace on all sides round about him.
Solomon had the peace, and he is not only eating, but he's feasting and giving to everybody. 150 bushels of flour, 300 bushels of meal, 10 oxen, 20 cattle, and 100 sheep or goats or deer meat every day. Can you imagine? This much food they have for everyday meal. So from that you know how blessed the king and the people who are surrounding, working with him, are. Thousands and thousands of dollars food. And so he had the money. How the money comes? All other countries give donations, and they come and give you the money. That Queen of Sheba came, and if you saw some movie about Solomon, you have to see how many stuff she bought it to give it to king. So when you are in a good position, everybody comes and gives you a lot of gifts. So he got a lot of money. So now he got the money. Now he wants to do something to make his army bigger than before. So let's read.
And Judah and Israel dwelt safely, every man under his vine and under his fig tree, from Dan even to Beersheba, all the days of Solomon. And Solomon had 40,000 stalls of horses for his chariots and 12,000 horsemen. And those officers provided victual for King Solomon and for all that came unto King Solomon's table, every man in his month, they lacked nothing. Barley also and straw for the horses and dromedaries brought they unto the place where the officers were, every man according to his charge. And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore.
He got all the horses and thousands of horses and chariots and everything and the horsemen. So he made his military stronger than anybody else. When your country is strong, nobody will fight with you. Here, the Solomon, he made his military great, his army great, and chariots and horses and everything. And now he has enough food to feed his whole people. And nobody was complaining about food or shelter. Everybody has the vineyard, everybody has the house, everybody has the food, and there was a peace and prosperity. Same thing is going to happen to America. If we are trying to worship the Lord and bless God and unity in our country will be much more prosperous than any country ever in the history of the world. But people do not know yet what God is doing. We have more religious freedom, but the other people who are not born again, not saved, they are thinking you don't have a freedom. So once we are great country, other country people will be afraid of you, and we will have more peace and more prosperity. Okay, let's go and finish this chapter.
And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the East country and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all men, than Ethan the Ezrahite, and Heman, and Chalcol, and Darda, the sons of Mahol, and his fame was in all nations round about. And he spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. And he spake of trees, from the cedar tree that is in Lebanon, even unto the hyssop that springeth out of the wall. He spake also of beasts and of fowl, and of creeping things and of fishes. And there came of all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon from all kings of the earth which had heard of his wisdom.
Can you imagine? Now when you have peace and prosperity and happy, that's the time you sing. When you are sorry, you are troubled, you don't have time to make a song or make a proverb or sing a song. He wrote almost what? 3,000 proverbs and 1,005 songs. So this man was busy praising God and glorifying God and thanking God because there is no war. There is no fighting. There is no problem. There is a prosperity. Nobody is complaining about food. Nobody is complaining about problems. So king is happy and he has extra time to write the proverbs, write the songs. And not only that, writing songs and proverbs, but he was doing research. They said he did research from every tree you can imagine. Not only that, some of the things comes to the crack of the wall or somewhere. He knew from that small tree to all the trees. You can ask him any tree and everything about the tree, he will tell you. That means he was so smart, he knew all the plants and trees, not only that, all the fishes. Now, today we are still looking in the ocean and different kinds of fish we never saw. Some of the aquarium you go, big giant, you can see those fish you never saw. So he said he knew every little fish, every fish. If you talk to him, he will tell you everything. Detail about all the fishes. And not only that, he says all the birds, all the animals, all each and every insects and everything he knew. You can ask him any question. He would not have any problem explaining about the plants, the trees, the birds, the animals, and everything. So you can imagine how much wisdom and how much power God gave it to him. There was not a single person like him in that particular time. So when you have no war and you have peace, and then you can have joy, and then when you have a joy, you sing. But our inspiration should be spiritual. We should not be thinking about the world and worldly things. When you think about God and godly things, that's the time God reveals you things. That's the time you get dreams. That's the time you get vision. That's the time God gives you inspiration to do what to do, what not to do. So here we see Solomon writing songs, writing proverbs, and he's very happy, and all the people with him, they're happy. And he says, as long as Solomon lived, he did not have any war. He did not have any problem. And his wisdom went all around the world, and people were happy. And that's the way the chapter finishes. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us grace. We heard when Solomon was young, he said, I am like a little child. I don't have any wisdom. I don't have any knowledge. And you gave it to him. So your word says, if you lack him wisdom and knowledge, ask, and God will give you liberally. Give us grace to live for you and for your glory. Bless us and use us mightily for the glory of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen?
Amen.
And amen. Please be seated.